Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are still listening to Drive Time on 91.3 FM. It is Voice of the Cape. The time now, 34 minutes after 4 p.m. on this beautiful afternoon. So at the start of October, the World Health Organization and the Chinese government had lauded South Africa's response to the global COVID-19 pandemic. Yet data concerning both the spread of the virus and the indirect consequences of the lockdown have suggested that the severe restrictions imposed in the country, some of the strictest in the world, were far from effective. So we now chat to one of the researchers of a recent report, Associate Professor at the Institute for Knowledge, University of Johannesburg, Professor Ben Smart. Mr. Smart, thank you so much for joining us and welcome to the conversation.
Good afternoon, listeners.
Professor, let's start off with some of the facts. What evidence had your and your fellow colleagues' research uncovered about the different levels of lockdown and its impact on the spread of the virus in the country?
Well, we reviewed the evidence for the effectiveness of lockdown by looking at the rate of new infections over time, mapped against the various stages of lockdown. As you said, South Africa had one of the strictest lockdowns in the world. And if it was to be effective, then we'd expect to see 7 to 14 days after the implementation of that hard lockdown, a significant reduction in that rate of new infections. And then we would further expect to see the rate of infections to increase when those regulations were relaxed. So as we went into lockdown levels 3 and 2 and so on, we'd expect the rate of infections to increase. Neither of those things happened. We didn't see a decrease in the rate of new infections shortly after lockdown began. And actually, as we relaxed the lockdown regulations, the rate of new infections actually started to decrease, which means that there's insufficient evidence base to claim that a hard lockdown is effective in the South African context.
Part of what was noted in the research study is the extent on which people relied on government who issued all of these directives. So tell us more about this in comparison to other countries that instituted lockdowns.
Well, lots of governments all over the world instituted lockdowns, and in some countries those lockdowns were effective. And I think the biggest trouble, particularly in the African context, is following the procedures that are taking place in the West, where lockdowns were more effective. So we sort of followed suit. It was prudent, I think, to do something. Government wanted to be seen to be doing something. Right at the beginning, we were at a state of uncertainty on how the population would react and how the population would be affected. But as it turns out, due to the contextual conditions of people living in South Africa, locking people up in their homes in a high population density environment where there's lots of people living in crowded areas in townships and in informal settlements and urban areas and so on, it's just not as effective for social distancing as it is in cities in the UK and in France and so on, where lockdowns do seem to have had more effect.
As we can clearly see now as well, the economic impact of the lockdown has been quite immense, especially considering that South Africa was already battling on the financial front. Talk us through some of the figures that the study had uncovered.
Right. Well, since the hard lockdown began, the net number of South Africans in the workforce has dropped by over 5 million. That's in the second quarter. And GDP has actually dropped 16.4% between the first and second quarter, leading to an annualized growth rate of minus 51%. And businesses all over South Africa really have been closing their doors for good. Lockdown restrictions have obviously made operations impossible for so many businesses working in both the formal and informal sectors, forcing them into bankruptcy. It's been absolutely disastrous for the economy. And of course, It's not just big money we're talking here. The economy has a direct impact on health, on malnutrition. As the economy fails, the rate of malnutrition amongst children in particular goes up. So it's not just an economic impact, or rather the economic impact also has a health impact.
You're bringing us to my next point. You know, there were also significant impacts to our health system, which government has maintained that it's doing considerably well under the circumstances. Tell us why this isn't the case.
Well, listen, government has made valiant efforts to accommodate the lockdown restrictions, there was a huge reduction in community testing for HIV, for example, that was made necessary by the restrictions on movement. But they did make efforts to make HIV, free HIV testing available from local pharmacies and so on. But nevertheless, there was a reduction of 57% in HIV testing, from 1.6 million tests in March to 590,000 in April. And as a result, we're seeing some scary projections coming out. Imperial College project, for example, that there'll be a 10 and 20% increase in mortality for HIV and tuberculosis over the next 5 years. That's 63,000 excess TB deaths in South Africa, which exceeds any reasonable estimate of lives saved by the lockdown.
And Professor, tell us why South Africans should not necessarily be fearing an anticipated second wave of the coronavirus.
If our analysis is correct, then it's likely that a lot of South Africans have been exposed to coronavirus, and there'll be a lot of South Africans that have remained asymptomatic. This is consistent with global studies. Majority of COVID-19 cases are asymptomatic. And, you know, with luck, there'll be a herd immunity within the country. We could well get second wave. In fact, I'm sure we'll get a second wave. The question is a matter of, well, it's two questions, really. One is, how severe is that second wave going to be? And we suspect that the second wave won't be anywhere near as dramatic as the first wave, based on our conclusions that, you know, the likelihood is, given the South African context, lots of people will have been exposed to the virus already. And secondly, there's the question of whether we should go back into a second lockdown. And from what our study says, we definitely shouldn't, because even if there is a second wave, that second wave won't be due to the relaxation of the lockdown regulations. So putting those regulations back into place, regulations that have a devastating effect on both the economy and our existing healthcare systems, is just going to have further negative impacts on the population.
One of the things you had noted in the report is the fact that South African government followed suit with the rest of the world in terms of instituting the lockdown instead of considering the real consequences of their actions. How do you think this needs to be adapted going forward?
Well, I think the restrictions that we have in place at the moment are sensible, insofar as we shouldn't just go back to acting as if everything is normal. We shouldn't have large gatherings. We shouldn't have nightclubs full of people. We shouldn't have, you know, theatres full of people and football stadiums full of people. Large gatherings like this are very unwise in this kind of situation. And we actually saw important was a slowdown in the rate of new infections right at the beginning of lockdown, before the lockdown could have had any effect. You see, it takes 7 days or so because of the incubation period for the effects of an intervention to play out in the numbers. Right on the day that lockdown was introduced, we saw a sharp decrease in the rate of new infections. Now, that sharp decrease is due to mitigation strategies that the government very sensibly implemented a week or two prior to going into the hard lockdown. And those kind of restrictions are mostly still in place. So restrictions on, as I say, large gathering, making sure everyone's washing their hands systematically and frequently. I think possibly trying to slow down interprovincial travel is a good idea, particularly when there are areas that are affected less than others. But these kind of mitigation strategies are useful and should be continued for the foreseeable future.
Associate Professor at the Institute for Knowledge of the University of Johannesburg, Professor Ben Smart, thank you so much for joining us and for an insightful conversation.